This is a worldwide exclusive, and you're seeing it first on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Dr. Brian Artis now says he was wrong when he first reported the connection to the snake venom and COVID-19, and he's here to set the record straight. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Friday, October 28th, 2022. I'm your host, Dr. Jane Ruby, and tonight I'm bringing you a worldwide exclusive from Dr. Brian Artis, one of my fellow frontline experts in the war against this global mass genocide, who now says he did not have it quite right in the beginning, that he was wrong in some ways when he first presented the snake venom evidence. And he says it's so much more than that. And what you will learn tonight about how your body has been manipulated to actually make the illness and the symptoms called COVID-19 will make it all clear to you. It will anger you, but it will empower you. And I'm very grateful to have Dr. Artis for the entire show tonight for his groundbreaking work and for honoring the Dr. Jane Ruby Show with his full first breaking report. And Dr. Artis joins me now. Hello, hello, Dr. Artis.
Hello, Dr. Jane Ruby. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Well, I couldn't resist. So tell us, what did you get wrong?
Yeah, it's very interesting. When you reached out to me, I said, wow, I had no idea. When we first started talking about when Watch the Water dropped with Stu Peters, I was absolutely convinced from the research studies out of China and in France in the early parts of the pandemic, in January and in April of 2020, both countries, the geneticists and the scientists actually termed that the origin source for the spike proteins and for the antibodies attacking the actual illness in China, they said the origin source for the disease was from two snakes called the Chinese crate snake and the Chinese king cobra.
Right.
But I was wrong about that. It wasn't actually just two snakes. 2 months later, Italy scientists, when they analyzed the blood, urine, and feces of every COVID-19 positive patient in Italy, they found a combination of 36 different animal venoms inside of only the COVID-19 patients, and they found zero of these venoms inside of the negative PCR-tested COVID patients.
Okay.
They did not have COVID, those who were negative.
Correct.
They not only found snake venoms, Jane Ruby, they found 20 different snake venoms.
Wow.
Inside the blood and the feces of only COVID-19 patients.
So let me have you articulate the overarching, because you're going to take us through a few different pictures and some incredible information. The idea generally is that certain populations were targeted, but we're all targeted ultimately, but that this material, and we'll talk about how it gets into your body in a minute, is actually designed to have you make your own COVID-19 if certain pieces are in place. Did I just get that?
Yeah, one of the things that's very impressive. Great, I'm glad you wrapped it up that way and summarized it that way.
Yeah, now let's unpack it.
Yeah, so what they found was 36 total different animal venoms found inside of COVID-19 patients' bodily fluids, blood, and feces. They also evaluated for urine but didn't find it in the urine. They found it in just the blood and in the feces. 20 different snake venoms. And this is the mystery I did not know when Watch the Water dropped.
Yes.
I did not know that there were also toxic, deadly venoms synthetically made from the snails of ocean snails and a starfish called the crown of thorn starfish.
Okay.
They found that deadly venom in the blood and feces of COVID-19 patients on land.
Let me slow you down just a little bit. I want people to have visuals. So let's start with, we have a picture of an article, and you don't have to expound on it. You've already started to lay it out. Snake bites and COVID-19, two crises, one research and development opportunity. That was an entree article. What's the point of that? Because then I want to go to the Italian study when you're ready. But I also want to show people, you just drop the bomb of all these other venoms. And I want people to see the conotoxins. I want them to see that starfish. We do have an incredible picture, but what's the importance of that first article
Yeah. So the first thing I want people to see is that the British Medical Journal, which is a very reputable medical journal, they actually have a global health article they published in the summer of 2021. Yeah. And you're looking at it on the screen. It's titled Snake Bites and COVID-19. Two health crises in the world, but they both have only one research and development opportunity. And if you look at the summary box at the bottom right, they actually say, despite inherent differences, snake bites and COVID-19 have much in common. Now, what do snake bites and COVID-19 have in common? I thought COVID-19 was simply a bat virus. What do bat viruses have to do with snakes?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Snake bites and COVID-19 have one thing in common. They both are weaponized venoms. So we're going to take you through how they orchestrated COVID-19 and why it's so similar to snake bites. The truth is they both are triggered. The disease processes are created by venoms. The only difference is COVID-19 does not involve a snake to actually put the venom inside of you. And a snake bite requires fangs, obviously, to be inserted into your skin to deliver venom. But they both, in this British Medical Journal, I just want the world to recognize, medical professionals and scientists are recognizing snake bites and COVID-19 are very, very similar. The only thing that's similar is the venoms.
Correct.
And this is what Chinese researchers, French researchers, and Italian researchers determined.
Okay.
Now, you should show the very next slide,
yes,
which I showed with you. This is the University of Arizona. Last summer, 2021, the University of Arizona took 300 patients who died with COVID-19 and they ran their blood and they wanted to find out what's in all of their blood that might be a biomarker that we can warn medical doctors treating patients in hospitals. What's the biomarker that they all have in common that might be the number one thing pointing at what's causing COVID-19 patients to die that the medical professionals can actually address and try to handle and target? And look at the title of their article after they got done analyzing 300 COVID-19 patients who died in hospitals. They actually titled the article, "Like Venom Coursing Through the Body, Researchers Identify the Mechanism Driving COVID-19 Mortality." Now, for those of you just listening to this podcast, the subtitle reads, yes, "Researchers have identified what may be the key molecule and the mechanism responsible for COVID-19 mortality."
Wow.
It is an enzyme related to neurotoxins found in rattlesnake venom.
Where was this information? August 2021, this was published.
Yep, published August 24th, 2021.
Why is no one from that study speaking out? You've been out, you know, many, many months, right? Almost a year on the snake venom theory, and everybody else was either silent or they bashed you on it. Where were these people?
Yeah, I don't know where they were. I think it was just really shocking that I brought this out to the entire world. It was shocking for me to uncover, but it has been a worldwide phenomenon and a reaction to what I brought to the world's attention with Stu Peters and with your help, with Mike Adams's help and Vander Steele, Scott McKay. We did a great job of getting that out to the masses, but it has been a relentless effort on my part for the last 6, 7, 8 months,
so
educating the entire world on this truth.
So we have you for the whole show. I just want the audience to know something. And I, because the audience gets mad at me, Dr. Artis, when I push guests along, especially somebody special and important like you, but you understand it. We understand we only have the show and it goes really, really quickly. So I'm going to bump him along and let's talk about the Italian study, because that's your next slide. And it was the Italian study that blew this open. Tell us what it is and what they found.
Yeah. So as you're showing it on the screen, the actual title, this was in Italy. This was done in June of 2020. This entire study was completed, submitted for peer review and approval in July of 2020. So this is when this was actually collected. What they did is they went around Italy, 20 different COVID-19 positive patients. They ran their blood, urine, and feces looking for venom. Why? Because China and French researchers said the spike proteins were venom. So this is what they published. They found that the title is toxin-like peptides in plasma, which is your blood, urine, and fecal samples from COVID-19 patients. When you look at the results, let's look at the summary. The results were this, it's highlighted on the screen.
Next slide.
Toxin-like peptides. Peptides are short proteins of venom, almost identical to toxic components of venoms from animals, like conotoxins. Conotoxins are marine snail venoms that are more toxic than king cobra venom to humans. They found this in COVID-19 patients. along with these big words, which are just parts of venom.
Yes.
Phospholipases, phosphodiesterases, zinc, metal proteinases, just so you know, in snake venom, they have a component that destroys zinc. What was the one metal everyone was telling you, like Zevzelenko, Ben Marble?
Yes.
You got to supplement zinc because venom destroys zinc. And bradykinins, look at this, were identified in samples from COVID-19 patients, but not in any of the control samples.
Wow. Okay.
This is blood, urine, and feces. All right. So what did they find? I'm going
to
show you here.
Let me ask you this. Why did the Italian researchers call you when you came out to the world? Have you talked to them?
They call me? Maybe because they don't understand English. Maybe they just speak Italian. We need to transcribe it. Then maybe they'll call me.
Okay. Okay. All right. Carry on.
So awesome. Inside of this study, the world needs to see this. I've shown this in from stages all around the country for the last 8 months. This is the first of four pages of each of the venoms they found in the blood and in the poop of patients.
So this is slide six through, I just want to give my producer a heads up, slides six through nine are your four pages from the study. Okay.
Now, when you're looking at these at home, you'll see two columns I want you to focus on. The fourth column from the left going right is protein name. All the way to the right on each of these pages is the animal it came from. So you'll see all the way to the right on the first row is the Malayan crate snake. Okay, now this is the snake Chinese and French researchers said was the venom source of COVID. This is what they said in January of 2020. Well, when Italy researchers in the summer of 2020 ran the blood, urine, and feces, they actually found Malayan crate snake venom, and the protein type, you'll see the column from the crate, is called the Kunitz type serine protease. Please don't memorize that. Just know the protein type is the protein name in that column tells you what the component in the venom from that animal is.
Okay.
So if you scroll down real quick, you'll see like the red one says zinc metalloproteinase. Go all the way to the right. What animal is that from? The Chinese king cobra. So zinc metalloproteinases is in the blood and in the feces from the king cobra snake in Italy patients.
And that's where the zinc gets broken down. Anything ends in ASE is an enzyme, as you know. And so those are they target zinc. Wow. 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 Okay. Okay.
Let's just run through these real quick so we can get through this because we want to make sure the whole audience sees this.
You got it.
On the far right, let's focus on that column all the way to the right.
Okay.
Let's just look at the names of the snakes. All of these are snake venom sources. You have Malayan crate snake venom, banded crate venom, coral snake venom, Chinese cobra venom. Look at this one, Malayan spitting cobra venom, and then inland taipan, coastal taipan, Eastern brown snake. Now let's keep going. What other venoms did they find?
Next slide.
Page. Okay. Next slide.
Sure.
Eastern brown snake.
Seven.
What about the next snake? McClay's water snake. I don't even know what that is. Jirocco is the next snake. And then a saw-scaled viper, Korean slamosa snake, Chinese water moccasin snake venom, king cobra venom. Let's go to the next list. Pit viper, two habu, which are various vipers. And then look at the pink one. This is called the crown of thorn starfish that's only found in the ocean, and it has deadly venom. How in the world did this get in the body of a person on land in Italy?
You're going to tell us. You're going to tell us as we go along.
We're going to tell you.
Stay with us. Let him do it.
Yeah, stay with us. And then you get to the blue section here. We're now outside of the snake venoms, and now we're going into shellfish venoms out of the ocean. All the blue ones are called cone snail venoms, otherwise known as conotoxins. And you'll see the different types of snail names: California cone snail, cat cone, yellow Pacific cone snail. These are very venomous creatures in the ocean. Next slide.
That we rarely have contact with. Let me just add before you go through your thing.
None of us are. If you're a scuba diver, you might see these, but I didn't know very many.
You're not going to eat them in the ocean. Okay.
That's right. So you have a total of, this is the fourth chart now is what I'm looking at. And you'll see flea bite cone,
slide
snail,
nine.
Oak cone, raid cone, fish hunting cone snail. How did all these marine snail venoms get inside of your body?
Let's remind people, this is the Italian study that found this in the excrement of only C19 patients. Okay, go ahead,
Dr. It's in their blood and it's in their feces.
Whoa.
It's in both.
Whoa.
So I just So I just want you to know they found.
And you're
going to
answer that question, right?
Venoms.
You're going to answer that question, how it got into their bodies, right?
Yes, okay. I am. Now, I want to kind of focus back on the Arizona study.
Okay, Dr. Artis.
I just want to introduce you back. Yeah. There's 36 different venoms Italian researchers found. This is what I was wrong about. I thought there was only two venoms from two snakes. Italy actually confirmed through liquid chromatography and mass spectrometry, these big fancy words of lab testing.
Okay.
They were able to isolate. There was actually 36 different venoms in COVID-19 patients, making them sick and giving them every symptom of COVID-19. That's exactly what they found. 20 different snake venoms, 16 different shellfish venoms out of the ocean.
Okay.
Now, what was the Arizona study? They said it was like venom coursing through the body.
Right.
Researchers identify what's causing death of COVID-19 patients. In that study, they confirmed the enzyme is called phospholipase A2. Now, I have a screenshot of every one of those venoms in the Italy study. I have a screenshot. You're going to show up on the screen right now.
Is that slide 10? Yes.
It is slide 10.
Venom phospholipase A2. Okay. Thank
now,
you.
For everyone at home, all I did was screenshot each of the venoms and from which animals that was the component of their venom called phospholipase A2 that was found at levels never seen in a human before by the University of Arizona in the blood of COVID-19 patients.
Wow.
In fact, it was so much of this stuff, they said it looks like venom coursing through the body. So I'm going to take you through this venom phospholipase A2 source from the Italy study.
Okay,
and
hold.
If you look at the screen in front of you, you will see.
Yeah.
You'll see the first one. If you look at the fourth column from the left, it says basic phospholipase A2. You see that?
Yep, correct.
This is the protein name. You'll see the same name all the way down. When you look to the far right, you'll see that this component of venom came from the banded crate snake, the coral snake, eastern brown snake, pit viper, habu, and then also the crown of thorns starfish.
It's a collection. Now, it's a collection. Okay, go ahead.
This is a collection of a bunch of these phospholipase A2s that is the enzyme responsible for killing COVID-19 hospitalized patients.
Okay.
Now let's go to the next slide. This is a
slide
visual.
Slide 11.
Slide 11 is every single animal I just showed.
Wow.
On the actual graph. These are the venomous creatures that the venom of this enzyme is in your body in Italy, all these patients.
Okay. And how did so many different species, maybe it's not species, breeds of these aquatic and snake animals get into these bodies that were studied?
Yeah, my very first question would be, how many Italian people were exposed and bitten by these snakes and this starfish during COVID to get COVID? I'd like to know.
Would the answer be none?
I would say none. All right. Okay. So next slide in my presentation is slide 12. Just as a reminder, University of Arizona found, and they said it's like venom coursing through the body.
Okay.
At the end of the subtitle, it says they found the enzyme is related to neurotoxins found in rattlesnake venom. So here we go. I'm going to actually show you the research study they're quoting from. This is what it is. You're looking at it on the screen.
This is number 13.
Slide 13.
Okay.
Title is Phospholipase Enzymes as Potential Biomarkers for SARS-CoV-2. And you will see the abstract here. It denotes the very last sentence is there's this PLA2 that we need to be focusing on. And if we go to the next slide, they reference that and I have it highlighted on slide 14. As you see on the screen, it reads, the University of Arizona with Stony Brook University and Wake Forest School of Medicine.
Okay.
They analyzed blood samples from two different patient loads of COVID-19 patients. And they found circulating enzyme. It's called secreted phospholipase A2 group 2A. May be the most important factor in predicting which patients with severe COVID-19 eventually succumb to the virus. And then the next phrase. SPLA2 enzyme, which has similarities to an active enzyme in rattlesnake venom, is found in low concentrations in healthy individuals, humans. Next paragraph, when the activated enzyme circulates at high levels, like they're finding in COVID-19 patients, it has the capacity to shred the membranes of vital organs.
Oh my gosh.
So down to the last paragraph,
okay.
They actually state, this enzyme is trying to kill the virus. This is what they say. It destroys the patient's cell membranes and thereby contributes to multiple organ failure and death.
Amazing. Okay. Yep. Stunning.
Next slide. It actually slide 15. Says section 6.
Yep.
The enzyme, the University of Arizona researchers said, medical doctors need to look for in the blood of COVID-19 patients because it's killing people. It's called PLA2. It says among them, SPLA2 is the first discovered group of PLA2 enzymes. And get this, Dr. Jane Ruby, it was first ever discovered as a component in king cobra venom.
Okay, first discovered there, but not just there.
Right. So okay. It was first ever identified there. Read the last sentence I have underlined. Snake venom PLA2s induce pathophysiological alterations, disease-causing alterations in the victim by hydrolyzing phospholipids and membranes.
Just breaking them down. Yep.
It's tearing down the cell structures of your body. Now, look at the next slide. This is just as a result of this study, 16. Other media outlets were publishing the findings.
Okay. Wow.
Here's another one.
Snake venom-related enzyme may drive COVID-19 mortality. Why was this not, you know, because we have the mainstream media suppressing it. I'm beside myself in terms of, you know, how this just got, you've lined this up. These are publications that are there. How were they not blocked? How were they not pulled off? I don't know. But Dr. Artis, I want to take this opportunity to break because you're going to take us through the rest of this. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back with more of this incredible discussion. You're going to learn how they manipulated your body to produce this illness. Be right back. A quick message about the security of your retirement savings. The last time the economy looked like this, the stock market tanked 50%. The dollar lost almost half its value, and gas prices quadrupled. Sound familiar? But while the U.S. economy was collapsing then, and inflation was running through the roof, gold shot up 1,300% and silver over 800%. So if history repeats itself, we could see this happening again. Can you really afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? Call GoldCo at 855-791-2619 because when you do, you'll not only get the chance to protect your retirement savings with gold and silver, you can get $10,000 in free silver just for doing it. Don't miss what could be your best opportunity to protect your retirement savings. Call 855-791-2619. Don't go anywhere. We are continuing this stunning revelation and truth about snake venom and COVID-19. It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for your health and well-being. In fact, magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all illnesses. And you might not know that there are 7 different types of magnesium the body needs. BioOptimizers has the solution. Their supplement is specially formulated to dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. Go to magbreakthrough.com and use the code RUBY for 10% off. Don't wait to be deficient. Just go to magbreakthrough.com. Code Ruby. Well, welcome back to the second segment. And where we left off was I asked Dr. Artis, how is this getting into the bodies of C19 patients if they're not being bitten by these animals or swimming in the deep ocean? And he's about to let us know. Okay, Dr. Artis, take it away.
Jane, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on your show. And this is going to be very exciting for me to actually project the narrative of how I believe they're doing this. Now, people out of the gate, when I started presenting that COVID-19 is nothing than venoms, a lot of people said it can't be snake venoms. There's not enough snakes. You can't milk snakes and then pour it in water and make everybody sick. They're not right. Making us all drink it in restaurants to make us sick. I never said that. I need to make this very clear. They're using synthetic manufactured venoms that they can do with chemicals and microorganisms. They've been manufacturing venoms around the world for decades.
Who's they?
And we're going to show you.
Who's they? CIA?
Companies are the biggest.
DOD? DARPA? Who is it?
The Department of Defense. DARPA does it. The CIA is involved in it. And lots of pharmaceutical companies around the world.
Quick question. Is this why in his last, most last interview with Stu Peters, Malone said, right out of the gate, I've got my bulletproof vest on and I'm not talking about snake venom?
Yeah, anybody who doesn't want to look at snake venom is trying to direct you somewhere else. It's what I would call fact checking. Let's just fact check live. We're not going to talk about this. We're going to talk about
Let's do it. All right.
So they are manufacturing synthetic venoms. This is what they're doing. And typically, as they process this in a lab, they actually get it down to a powdered, what's called lyophilized, freeze-dried powder form.
Wow.
And right now, any of you can go online and you can order snake venom peptides, scorpion venom peptides in a powder form. You can put it in makeup, cosmetics. There's manufacturers
so you
all
can
over the
poison.
World.
You can poison people and maybe Absolutely. They wouldn't even figure it out.
Yep. So we're going to actually take you through.
Okay. Let's go.
Just to show you, I'm going to give you an example. So I want you to pull up the next slide of how they make synthetic venoms.
17?
Slide 17.
Oh my God. Synthetic snake venom. Go ahead. I'm
All
shocked.
Right, so this is 2018. So 2 years before the pandemic starts, the Utah State University Biological Engineering Department, they publish how it is they make synthetic snake venom. And it's, as they declare, a novel creation of the croptolid phospholipase A2 using genetic engineering. Okay. Now remember, phospholipase A2 yeah. is the one enzyme killing COVID-19 patients. They okay. are showing you they can make it in a lab.
Is this gain of function? A form of gain of function?
This is just learning how to make more of a poisonous toxic venom without a snake or without the creature.
Oh, that's a step in gain of function.
Absolutely.
Is this something, do you think, Ralph Baric was doing at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with Fauci's billions from the NIH?
Yes.
On behalf of
many,
DOD?
Many others.
Okay. Okay. Just so want to tie it together.
So I just want you to know they're making synthetic snake venoms. This is one example of a research lab at Utah State University just 4 years ago who is actually publishing they can do this.
Wow.
Now, next slide of this same website. I'm going to show you the results, how they do it. The conclusions of their work, they say here, number one, the final gene was successfully cloned. We're talking about the phospholipase A2 snake venom peptide. The final gene was successfully cloned into E. coli bacteria using molecular cloning standards. And then number two, the results. There was an overexpression of this snake venom enzyme, PLA2, was achieved in E. coli. And then they show you at the top right, how much it costs to manufacture one unit of synthetic snake venom from snakes, PLA2, using E. coli, how much it costs to make PLA2 from humans, PLA2, bee venom, pigs, and cows.
Okay, can I interpret what you're saying? You're saying that if you make it from humans and it's really just a powdered form of E. coli, the second thing, the overexpression is the body is being driven to make the poison that's killing the body?
Oh, we'll get to that. What this actual research determined here at Utah State University was, all you have to do is expose snake venom peptides to E. coli bacteria. E. coli will draw it in and then spit out more of it. It manufactures more venom.
Do we have E. coli naturally in our bodies? Don't we in our alimentary canal and our...
Oh, this is when they actually said, that's a great point, Jane. And we want to make sure that the
it's
world
a medium.
Knows.
It's a medium, you're saying.
Absolutely. Okay. If they can in a lab actually just present snake venom peptides, short sequences of snake venom protein to E. coli, and E. coli can replicate more venom. I wondered, did the University of Arizona, when they published that, when they looked at the blood of people who died from COVID in hospitals, they said it was 20 times the amount of PLA2, snake venom peptide, enzyme found in their body than they've ever seen in a human ever. Never in history have they ever seen that much
wow.
PLA2. My next thought was, what if there's a secondary bacterial infection in the COVID-19 patients in hospitals that's E. coli related? What if there's E. coli thriving in their intestinal tract or in their blood, and as venom from COVID, the weapon called COVID, when venom gets into their body, what if the venom is being replicated by E. coli bacteria?
Wow.
You know what else is crazy? Jeez. Do you know that the majority of venoms around the world are synthetically made from yeast and E. coli? And do you know what the side effect of using antibiotics, which they did with every COVID-19 patient in hospitals. Do you know what a very common side effect of using antibiotics at all in a human is? Overgrowth of yeast.
Correct.
Now imagine if there's yeast or E. coli present, could the body be the medium actually generating and replicating more venom? Now, just so everyone understands, you are all being told that the mRNA technology in the Pfizer and Moderna shot is to inject you with spike protein, a genetic
code,
genetic snippet of a code.
So you'll make the spike.
So your body makes it.
Correct.
But E. coli and bacteria will make it, yeast will make it, and so will your cells. And I'm going to show you how I know they already know they can do this.
Okay.
It's very, very incredible to have this opportunity, Dr. Jane Ruby, on your show to show this to the world for the first time.
I'm honored.
Has blown me away.
Me too.
Just how evil this has got.
Me too. And if any of the frontline doctors do not, I'm going to just take a little minute here, join you and do the responsible thing and read through this data and read through this pathway and watch your interviews. They're outing themselves, as far as I'm concerned, as controlled opposition, as interfering with the narrative of truth. And I just had to lay that out, Dr. Artis. I'm sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
I just want to say this. The only reason why I'm speaking out, look, they killed my father-in-law in a hospital with ill-advised protocols. There is a biological weapon being spread around the world. Wouldn't you like to know what you're addressing? You might as well have someone like me show you what you're not looking at. And then maybe, just maybe, doctors around the world, future bioweapons being released or other variants they want to call COVID, maybe take a different look at what's going on.
Instead, some of them are still calling it a vaccine, still talking about it as a virus, ignoring your work on the snake venom and all the derivatives. And I'm done. I'm done with it. You're out. You're outing yourselves if you do not align with Dr. Artis and at least look at the data. Okay, Dr. Artis, go ahead. We were on slide for my producer 18. Are we moving? Walk us through with number then, if we're going to go through.
So my next question was this, Dr. Jane. Is it possible there's a correlation or reports coming out during the pandemic that individuals with E. coli bacterial infections at the same time they had COVID had worse outcomes?
Okay.
Now I'm going to show up on the screen here. This is slide 19.
Yep. There you go.
The University of Louisville Journal of Respiratory Infections published this case report. There's not just one. I'm going to show another study here in just a minute. But this reports early on in the pandemic in the first year, a patient with E. coli bacteria and COVID-19 co-infection. So let me just show inside of this the next slide. A 64-year-old white male presents to the emergency department with the chief complaint of burning with urination. This is why he went to the hospital. Burning with urination starting 4 days prior to admission. His past medical history was significant for type 2 diabetes. The patient also endorsed urinary retention, gait instability, nausea, vomiting, and chills. Blood and urine cultures were collected, both of which grew E. coli.
Wow.
So he had E. coli.
Wow.
Then they put him on antibiotics for E. coli. But then the patient went on to develop multiple organ failure.
Next slide, 21.
Yep, including acute respiratory distress syndrome.
Wow.
On day 9, they did a PCR test and found that he also had COVID. At this time, the patient was non-responsive, off sedation, and was compassionately extubated.
I'm going to stop you. I want, because you and I have already talked about it. I've spent the last 18 months of this work telling people the PCR test does not diagnose anything in particular, no illness, no particular flu, and doesn't differentiate. Have I been wrong? No. Explain why. What is the PCR test picking up?
The whole world was angry medically that they were now being forced to put faith and trust in what was called the PCR test to diagnose a new novel respiratory virus. And we have covered that at nauseum, that it's not an accurate test to diagnose viral infections of any kind.
What is it good at finding, Dr. Artis?
However, imagine my shock to find out that for over 2 decades, it's been used solely in every snake venom research ever to identify genetic material of snake venom present in medium. It identifies snake venom genetics.
Okay.
So then PCR tests actually could have been very accurate this entire time because they used the tool they've been using accurately in research studies to identify venoms.
Venom poisoning. If you've been, okay. Okay. That's, I hope everybody stays with us because this is really linking together. Okay,
yep.
We've now got about case, half the slides to get through.
This case study in Louisville, I just want to share this, that what they found was, they said patients who had E. coli infection were more likely to require mechanical ventilation and had longer ICU stays than patients without these infections. And they found patients with an E. coli co-infection and COVID had an inpatient mortality rate of 31%. So they said it's possible that this could be occurring with our SARS-CoV-2 patients. Now, I wanted to know, well, if E. coli and COVID together, which is venom, if it's venom peptides, if E. coli is now generating more venom possibly, which they're doing in labs, if this is possible, it makes sense to me. If it's able to do that, maybe this is why there's so much PLA2 in the patients with COVID-19 in hospitals who died.
Right.
So
right.
Then I wanted to know, is there any correlation to E. coli infections? And then farther into the pandemic, this is October 2021, slide 23.
Slide 23, thank you. Impact of COVID-19 pandemic on survival in the patients with the intra-abdominal E. coli infections.
Yep, so it says, what's the impact of COVID-19 with patients who have E. coli infections in their gut? And this is what they found.
Wow.
The study showed, next slide, the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the clinical outcome 24. And death due to E. coli infection with an extension of time between your onset of symptoms and then surgery. There is an increase of death and worsening of symptoms in COVID-19 patients when they have E. coli present.
And who? What
and
kind
now
of,
I know this is confirmed, and this could be why it is you don't see it.
What kinds of profile patients have a large amount of E. coli, lots of yeast, from the overproduction of sugar and the inability to regulate sugar?
Those who have the biggest problem clearing E. coli and yeast infections are those that are diabetics, type 2 particularly, who also are correlated to have the worst outcomes with COVID, period.
That makes sense.
So
wow.
There is a direct correlation to the inability to manage blood sugar. E. coli grows, proliferates throughout the body and spreads. So does yeast, just profoundly. And then then inputting antibiotics worsens the growth for some E. coli strains and proliferates yeast throughout the body.
You know, Dr. Artis, you've told us we could buy this online. So I really want to skip over, if it's okay, slides 25 and 26 on the purchasing. Because I want to, just for a minute, we talked about patients and people, subpopulations that have been targeted. Diabetics, cardiac, and the elderly were taken out in the first wave, thanks to Cuomo and a few others like him. So it was diabetics, obese patients because of their metabolism, and the cardiac patients. So I want people to know that. I think it's really important that it all aligns with those populations that were taken out easily in the hospitals, right?
Absolutely right. So if you haven't followed this or going on the CDC's data tracker, there's three races in order that represent the highest mortality or death from COVID-19 in America. The highest is Native Americans. The second highest is Blacks. The third is Hispanics.
Wow.
For those in America that don't know this, I've had to educate a lot of medical professionals on this. Did you also know that Native Americans represent the highest percentage of a race with diabetes in America, including type 2? The second highest race percentage is Blacks. The third is Hispanics. Now, for the medical professionals out there, please just recognize I am presenting information to you that the COVID-19 spike proteins and the enzymes being identified in the blood of COVID-19 patients who are dying, there is a possible correlation to E. coli and yeast and co-infections in your patients.
Yes.
Please take the time to analyze. Yes. Does your COVID patients in the future, do they have an underlying E. coli or yeast infection? And the probability and the plausibility that the venom or venom peptides present in the body can be replicated by those co-infections and make their symptoms worse.
Yes.
And then just go handle it.
Make them more
vulnerable. There's better outcomes.
Yep. And Dr. Artis, I want to clarify something, and you can back me up or redirect me. I've said from the beginning, nobody's getting COVID twice, okay? Because that was based on the premise that once your body's been exposed to an infectious agent, it recognizes it in the future, unless you're dead and you have no immune system. And in under that premise, you cannot get COVID or a flu, if you're talking about a real flu, sort of a real flu. But this under these discoveries, you can be re-poisoned. So you can get COVID again if you're being re-poisoned with this toxin that your body now has been driven to make, right? So we're talking about two different things. One thing's coming to you in the air, in the water, I don't know, the municipal water, this, whatever this is. And then you have the shots, which are programming people to poison themselves, correct?
Absolutely. Okay. You're absolutely correct.
Okay, just want to make, because people are going to ask, well, you know, I got COVID twice and I beat them up and I say you didn't get COVID twice. Because
can I ask? Okay, so next time anybody asks you that after you produce this show,
I'm going to say,
just say this. If you get bit by one rattlesnake,
right,
can you get bit by another one and get sick again?
Sure, of course. Yep.
Venom and poison.
Yeah, we were under the different premise of a flu. Okay, so can we jump to a slide 27 with the conotoxins? Because you got a great visual after this one.
I'd really like to do that, but we have to show these two slides, 25 and 26.
Okay, you're the boss.
I have to show them.
You're the expert.
I have to show you. The whole world needs to see this, people, because okay. You have no idea.
Slide 25.
Slide 25. For those of you who are sitting there thinking, there's no way you can just make synthetic venom. Oh, no, you can shop at home from your computer and order synthetic snake venom from your house. So on this slide 25, look at the bottom. You'll see this little screenshot of the first venom published in an Italy study that was found in COVID-19 patients from the Malayan crate.
Wow.
It's called the, read it, Kunitz type serine protease inhibitor. Now look at the screen. This is Aviva Systems Biology. It says protein on demand is their trademark, and it's the exact same enzyme from snake venom of the crate snake called bungarotoxin. Now, next slide. I just need you to see here. When you're
now,
looking at
I see why
screen.
It was important. I apologize. So number 27. Okay. Oh, no.
Let's look.
I'm sorry.
No, go to 26.
26.
I want you to just look at this. This is how you order it. You just scroll to the right, and it actually asks you, what do you want your synthetic crate venom produced in? Do you want it made?
Oh, my God.
Do you want it made in E. coli, yeast? You'll see it on the right. But look at mammalian cell line. That means mammal cells will generate synthetic venom. Yeah. What happens when you put that synthetic venom inside of your body?
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa.
They're actually, you can order it online and look at the price at the bottom, Dr. Jane.
Wow. Not unattainable for a lot of people. They want to be evil.
Yeah. If you want to generate a whole bunch of crate venom, synthetic venom for yourself at home to be delivered, just go here and pick your medium.
How are these companies able to remain allowed to sell things that are part of gain of function, right?
Yeah, these venoms are being used by pharmaceutical drug companies all over the world. They're using snake venom peptides and all kinds of drugs.
Wow.
All right, I just wanted everyone to see, okay. I'm not making this up. You can make synthetic venom at home.
All right.
You can order
it. This is a great place to break. We are out of time on this segment. 20 minutes flew by. We're gonna take a short break. Do not leave because Dr. Artis has a lot more to go through. Just one quick message and we'll be right back. Well, the show is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health, LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo food line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. They start with 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then they blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you have ever felt. Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing inflammation with one simple drink. It's friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. They're offering up to 15% off when you use the promo code RUBY. Go to earthechofoods.com and use the discount code RUBY for your 15% off. And we're back with Dr. Brian Artis to continue. You just left off that you can buy this stuff online. If that isn't shocking enough, okay, Dr. Artis, take us through.
Yeah, you not only can buy synthetic venom online, you can actually pick what you want it to be grown in. That's what's amazing. Mammal cells, yeast, or E. coli. It's pretty amazing. So please pay attention to your patients who are sick with COVID symptoms in the future. All right, now let's get back to the Italy study. Not only were there 20 different snake venoms that all can be synthetically made and are around the world and being weaponized, you can also There's 15 different conotoxins that were identified, and conotoxins come from marine snails. So I actually just screenshot it. You see it on the screen there. All of the 15 different cono snails and slide the protein component of their venom. Okay. The next slide shows images of what they look like.
28. Slide 28 is so scary. What's that thing on the left sticking out of it?
That is its little projection. It projects this little tube out and then shoots a harpoon with the venom into a fish as it swims by. So cono snails, that's what's on the left. You can actually see the title of this article out of Australia. It says cone snail drug is 100 times more potent than morphine. Whoa. So I just want you to know, drug makers are using venoms around the world to make drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next slide.
Okay.
28. What's a conotoxin?
29.
What's a conotoxin? It's one of a group of neurotoxic peptides isolated from the venom of marine cone snails. Next slide.
30.
Now, I just want you to read the part here on Wikipedia. Types and biological activities of conotoxins. You'll see the very first bullet point says alpha conotoxin that affects nicotinic acetylcholine receptors. That's actually what causes your COVID symptoms. If you go to the bottom where I've highlighted on the screen, it says there's a specific type of marine snail venom, that there is a synthetic version of this conotoxin has been found and applied as an analgesic drug called ziconotide.
Wow.
So it's called Prialt is the actual drug. And they actually inject this into your spinal column, into your spinal fluid, when someone's in so much pain, they can't find any other drug that works. Now, this drug is made from synthetic conotoxin venom, snail venom. I just showed you that little article that showed out of Australia. They've made a drug now from this snail venom that's 100 times more powerful than morphine at dropping pain. All right, so this drug is called Prialt. This is the drug they're talking about. So I'm going to now take you to this drug called ziconotide, or brand name Prialt. I want you to see what its side effects are. Ready?
Wow.
This is slide 31. Now, in relationship to all of these symptoms, Dr. Jane Ruby and your audiences, I want you to think about every single horrible visual side effect you've seen in every COVID-19 mRNA injected and injured person. When their gaits are shaking, when they fall over, it looks like they're hallucinating. Remember, all of their symptoms you've seen visually. Now, look at what this synthetic snail venom called conotoxin, when it's made into a drug and injected inside the body of a person, what it does when it reaches the brain. All right, here it is.
Here's the side effects from drugs.com.
Abnormal gait, aphasia, the inability to speak is what aphasia is, which is why Bruce Willis just retired from being an actor, by the way. He can't speak as fast as he thinks anymore. All right, dizziness, memory impairment, speech disturbances, hallucination, hallucinating, seeing things that aren't there.
Yeah.
Vertigo, abnormal, unmounting thinking, paresthesia. Next slide.
Slide warning. 32. Yep.
Warning for everybody using this synthetic conotoxin. Monitor all patients frequently for evidence of cognitive impairment, hallucinations, or changes in mood or consciousness. A change in consciousness means you're either conscious or you're unconscious. So if you see someone go into unconsciousness, which means they're in a coma. You want to look at this drug, this side effect.
And now if they're using tons of different types of these toxins, that could explain why people are getting different things at different times. Cardiac, neuro, this one. Okay.
Exactly right. So here's 15 conotoxins found in the COVID-19 patients. Look at the serious side effects of synthetic venoms from the conotoxin. Look at the more common ones. Change in walking and balance.
Wow.
Changes in rhythms of speech, clumminess, confusions, delusions, dementia. Next slide.
Number 34. Wow.
Problems with speech or speaking, seeing or hearing, shakiness and unsteady walk, shakiness in the legs, arms, hand, or feet. How many of those videos have you seen where the people, the nurses are shaking after the shots, shivering, slurred speech, thoughts of killing yourself, suicide.
Sure.
Yeah. Uncontrolled eye movements. Next slide. This I couldn't believe.
35. Slide 35. Yep.
You'll see highlighted synthetic conotoxin has these other but less common side effects. Aggressive or angry. Look to the one just to the right of that. Holding false beliefs that cannot be changed by fact.
Wow, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say something. I think everybody who doesn't want to look at venom and venom peptides as a part of the COVID-19 narrative, I think you might have conotoxin poisoning. You're holding a false belief that cannot be changed by facts.
And Dr. Artis, people are continuing to run to get these boosters. They don't even know why. There is no, you know, infection rates for flu, right? That look apparent, but they're poisoning themselves. They keep priming. I've said they want to do this over and over again and get more and more into you because they're priming your body for something. And this is one of the things they're doing. But there's been a lot of discussion about the AI and, you know, this one, some people are looking at patents. I've always been very cautious about patents because they don't mean it's been executed. You know, where's the AI in this?
So I'm not going to talk about AI here.
Okay.
But I am going to, because I only have a few minutes. I want to make sure we get through everything I want to show you. But you did bring up patents. I just want people to see, correlate the idea and the possibility that venoms and synthetic venoms might be causing an array of all the symptoms you're seeing related to COVID and the post COVID-19 shots. I think they're all correlated to venom. And if you don't look at it, you're missing out on a great deal. Now, these are synthetic conotoxins. I want to show you something. I just showed you a study out of Italy that shows there's 15 different conotoxins appearing in the blood and feces of people from multiple countries in Italy all at once who have COVID PCR tested positive.
Okay.
Look at slide 36. This is actually a United States patent from 1999. For conotoxin peptides. Guess who owns the patent? This is the Salk Institute.
Wow. Okay.
This is the actual guy. Salk is the guy who created the poliovirus vaccine.
Sure. Okay.
So this is the Salk Institute. They're the ones that own the patent along with the University of Utah. So I want to just show you something here. It shows on the right hand side an abstract on slide 37 of the same patent.
Okay. Let's jump to that.
These conotoxin peptides actually target nicotinic acetylcholine receptors. This is 1999, people. Next slide, 38. Conotoxins found in COVID-19 patients. Read the first paragraph on slide 38.
On slide 30.
Conotoxin peptides. This invention was made with
government support.
Slide 38. Conotoxin peptides. This invention was made with government support. Under a grant awarded by the National Institutes of Health, the government has certain rights in this invention of conotoxin peptides found in COVID-19 patients, people.
We know our government's trying to kill us. It doesn't exist anymore as we ever thought of it, but go ahead.
That's right. So now I've got 5 minutes to get through the rest of these. I'm just going to show these real quick. Here's a Google patent out of China for how to make conotoxins with yeast. And I just want to bring your attention to the last sentence of the abstract. It says the yeast expression system that the present invention uses expresses biologically active conotoxin, and it has many advantages such as lower production costs, and it can be achieved with large scale production. I didn't realize we needed so much conotoxin in the world. next slide.
Number 40, slide 40. Go for it.
Marine Drugs is publishing conotoxins patents and their trends. Next slide.
Wow.
Look at this. 41. These are all the patents. This is slide 41. All the patents applied for since 1981 till the present.
And who is the majority owner or holder? Does it fall into categories? Like, was it pharma industry? Was it government?
I'm going to show you. Next slide.
Okay.
I want to show that this is in the same article. Look at the top highlighted. Institute of Chemical Defense, Chinese Academy of Military Science. They have all their applications pending right now for conotoxins. And the most recent pending applications belong to Kineta and the Institute of Chemical Defense of the Chinese Academy of Military Sciences. Just remember, now the Chinese are applying with patents and have patents pending, which means they're manufacturing this stuff, waiting for their patent to be applied.
Wow. Is this why 800,000 Chinese foreign students in the United States were exempt from taking these shots? Leave that there. Okay.
So this actual graph shows all the places and institutions that are applying for conotoxin patents.
This is still slide 42.
Yep. Next slide, 43.
Yes.
I want you to look at the top countries between 2016 and 2022 who have applied for the most patents of conotoxins.
Look at this.
China has 29. The United States is number 2 with 9. And you can see the list of all the countries there.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Now, next slide, 44.
Woo.
These are the assignees. Those have been given patent rights for conotoxin production and the growth of those applications being awarded. Look who's got the highest percentage, China. Ocean University.
Yep.
And then I want you to draw your attention down to the bottom. Why does Children's Medical Center and Clemson University, why do they need patents on conotoxins? Right. Just a thought. The rest of them are all outside of this country.
Okay. Why do you think? Because they're doing something that'll specially target children to take children out?
Oh, they're obviously, lots of people need patents on conotoxins to develop drugs or biological weapons.
Wow.
Next slide. We're going to go back to now the biological engineering at Utah State University, because I only got a couple minutes. Remember this statement inside of this article. They can synthetically make snake venom with E. coli, particularly the phospholipase A2 enzyme that the University of Arizona said is the enzyme found in rattlesnake venom that is inside COVID-19 patients who died and in their blood. Ready? I want you to look at the final slide that I sent you. It is the Time magazine cover from January 1999.
Yes, 99, wow.
This says, "The Future of Medicine" is the title. The subtitle, read it out loud, Dr. Jane Ruby.
How Genetic Engineering Will Change Us in the Next Century.
Okay, now I want you to capture the actual two words, genetic engineering, and how it will change us in the next century. Genetic engineering is what I want you to remember. Repeat it after me. Genetic engineering.
Genetic engineering.
Genetic engineering is going to change us in the future. Now look at the DNA strand on this cover, Jane. What does half of our human DNA, what's it going to change to in the next century?
Serpents and snakes.
The visual is half of your DNA is going to turn into reptilian DNA or snake DNA, reptile DNA is what it looks like. Now go back to slide 45 that I was just showing you. That's the Utah State University study.
Yep.
I want you to read the last two words highlighted in the title of this study, Jane Ruby.
Which is the slide number?
Slide number 45, last two words highlighted on the title.
Bear with me. Okay. Slide 45. Sorry. I know my producer is right with me. I am reading. What am I reading?
It's the Utah State University.
Gotcha. What am I reading?
I want you to read the last two words of the title that I highlighted.
Genetic engineering. That was not lost on me earlier. Genetic engineering.
Utah State University says they can make synthetic snake venom out of E. coli and they use genetic engineering. What does Time magazine say in 1999? It says how genetic engineering will change us in the next century.
If they consider
E. coli can make synthetic snake venom and they call that genetic engineering in 2018, 20 years ago, Time magazine was making us aware they're going to be using genetic engineering to change us in the future.
Yeah.
It appears from this graphic and everything I just showed you, they are actually making the human body capable of creating venom. And venom in the human body, I've never known massive benefits and rewards from making the body generate venom.
This is how we're totally out of time, Dr. Artis. This is how they're committing the depopulation and the mass damage. You've got to come back. We've got to talk about what you've laid out. And I know people are going to be you're just going to be buzzing about this. Can you just give me 30 seconds of, you know, how do we stop this now that we know all of this?
One of the things you need to be aware of is that there are actually known inhibitory natural elements and treatments for envenomation. And we'll educate you on what those are in a future show.
Okay. Can you give us a couple of things? Because there are a lot of charlatans out there right now telling people that they can get this out of their system. They can get the genetic code out. They can detox. They can soak in a bath of bentonite clay or some other BS like that. And it's really making me mad because people are getting hurt. So
let me give you a few of those. One of the actual proteins found in all the Italy study patients from venom was snake venom phosphodiesterase. It is known that if you put in the human body glutathione, NAC, vitamin C, and EDTA, it destroys that venom component. Bradykinins is another venom component found in the bodies of the Italy patients.
Bradykinins slow the heart rate.
Bradykinins are inhibited by bromelain, aloe vera, and resveratrol, just so you know. So these are some of the things you should be putting in your body. It's already published.
Every day.
Please, medical professionals around the world, consider looking at your COVID variant patients in the future as weaponized envenomated patients from all kinds of venoms, and then start addressing it. How do you treat an envenomated person? You already know how to do that.
Thank you, Dr. Artis. You are an American treasure. You're actually a global treasure. You may have just saved humanity. Now we have to just execute on all of this. Thank you for bringing it to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Much love, and God bless you and keep you safe.
Thank you very much. God bless all of you.
You bet. That's it for this edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. We close out strong on Friday. Have a blessed weekend. Watch this show over and over again. There's so much rich information. You don't want to miss it. And we'll see you again on Monday.